problem is, though, buyers are now more informed than ever, but they're less confident than they've ever been. And the central question here really is, how much trust does a buyer really need today before they're willing to be known, meaning they raise their hand, they want to talk to sales, or buy? If we just amplify the 7-11-4 with generic content that we have been producing maybe in the last 15 years, it's going to really backfire, and that is going to be a massive problem.
Welcome to the Lead with Trust podcast. Each week, we share insights and practical strategies to help you build trust intentionally and systematically in your business. And now, here's your host, Hannah Eisenberg.
Welcome to another episode of Lead with Trust. I am so happy and grateful that you are here today. We're going to talk about a really important topic. I mean, we always are, but I'm excited about this one. I've been really mulling over this for the last week or so, so I'm excited to share my thinking here on this. B2B buyers consume more content than ever before. 13 pieces, actually, on average. And most buy without ever talking to sales. And yet, 56% of B2B purchases end up in regret. And 86% of deals stall before a decision is even made. So here's the question. How can buyers who have more information, more access, and more control than ever before feel less confident than ever? And that the answer is that the trust gap hasn't just gotten so much larger over the last few years. It has changed entirely in shape. And that's what we're going to unpack today. Now, I came across sort of this topic as I was researching the trust gap and how we can quantify the trust gap. And I came across a post from Dan Priestley talking about the 7-11-4 rule, and I actually hadn't come across it. Don't know how, but I hadn't come across. So I did a little bit of a deep dive in a rabbit hole there. And initially I was floored. I was like, holy, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's essentially saying that a buyer has to spend 7 hours with your content across 11 touch points and 4 locations in order to trust you enough to make an initial purchase. If you do the math and you think about, okay, maybe I need 30 leads to have a good client. I know SaaS companies who need 66 leads to make a good sale. Now, there's some overlap, of course, but not everything is overlapping. So the amount of content you must be creating is insane, right? So of course our brain would go to, oh my God, I need to just create more content because, and across more touch points, I need to repurpose it better. And how do I show up more to get those 7 hours of content across 11 touch points in 4 locations across one lead for them to become a buyer? The problem is, though, buyers are now more informed than ever, but they're less confident than they've ever been. And the central question here really is, how much trust does a buyer really need today before they're willing to be known, meaning they raise their hand, they want to talk to sales, or buy? And if you do a bit of research here, you realize it's not just about more of the same. If we just amplify the 7-11-4 with generic content that we have been producing maybe in the last 15 years, it's going to really backfire. And that is going to be a massive problem. And today I'm going to first explain to you how this is going to backfire. What are the consequences of doing more of the same? And then what do you need to do different? Where do you need to adjust in order to prevent that from happening to you? Before we go down that, I want to just take apart the 7-11-4 for a second because it's important to understand that historical context that we come from. it's most often contributed to Google's Zero Moment of Truth study. Initially, that study was done in 2010, and it was, in my opinion, one of the biggest, most impactful studies done around marketing topics in the last decades. And they found out basically that between someone being exposed to a product on a billboard, a television ad, a newspaper ad, in some way or form, right, to them actually experiencing that problem, going into a store, talking to a salesperson, holding it in their hand, reading the package, maybe even having, enjoying it, there is now a new step since 2010, obviously a little bit before, but because of the internet being more adopted, that people are now doing a lot of that initial research, their due diligence by themselves, and that is called the zero moment of truth. Zero moment of truth activities is anything from searching online, reading a Reddit thread, going to Trustpilot and reading reviews, reading a vendor website, watching YouTube channels, even talking to your friends and families, getting reviews from other people. It is a lot of due diligence and trying to learn more about the thing before you go and talk to sales or buy the thing. Now, the implied logic here is that time, 7 hours of content, touch points, so the 11 touch points that you have to experience, and the four locations, creates a familiarity because of the repetition that sort of helps people to overcome that trust gap and create some sort of trust. Now, it worked back then in 2010, 2020, because there was more information scarcity and all the channels that your customer or your buyer could encounter you on were largely controlled by your brand, right? It was your website, it was maybe your YouTube channel, maybe it was your social media platform, maybe it was a partner talking good about you. A lot of this was controlled by you as a brand. And because of that, the narrative that they encountered was relatively consistent. That, coupled with a much higher baseline of institutional trust, led to your buyers trusting you a lot more just through the 7-Eleven for marketing activities. Okay, but that doesn't work anymore. Now, in 2024, 2025, 2026, I mean, we've already seen that just exposure doesn't equal trust anymore. Right? Buyers are now hitting a exposure threshold immediately because they just go to Chat Claude or some other AI tool and they ask a question and they get back a very confident, authoritative answer in a neat little well-written response. And studies have shown that buyers trust those answers more than a lot of other sources on the internet. They have, despite the initial skepticism around AI, they now swung the opposite direction, where they believe it without questioning too much. But then they sort of go into a rabbit hole. The longer they're exposed to information, the more they're starting to doubt and feel confused and lose their confidence, and they just go down this rabbit hole of research because now they're being confronted with automated distribution, algorithmic feeds in social, like just bombarded with information. It's almost like they feel like my teenager sitting there for 2 hours doom scrolling on their phone on Instagram. That's what a buyer almost feels like. They're just getting overwhelmed with the amount of contradicting, inconsistent information that they're being confronted with. And now, instead of spending their time, 7 hours, to be familiar and getting to know the brand across that consistent and cohesive narrative, now they're getting confused because they're using that time to try to puzzle together what is actually reality, what is actually wrong information, and they're just literally reconciling contradictions. So the buyer is really asking constantly today, which signal should I believe? And the outcome here is not more content, more of the same, more of the, because they're just getting more and more skeptic. They're getting mentally fatigued and it creates doubt. So I just want you to remember here, more exposure past this sort of threshold is amplifying uncertainty. Does that mean you should create less content? Absolutely not. That means you should create better content. I know you've heard this a lot of times, but I want to qualify today what that sort of means and what you have to do differently to get there. But before we do that, there's one concept I want to introduce you to, because that's sort of the lens we're going to look at that content that you're going to produce or how you show up in the marketplace. And that concept is epistemic trust. Epistemic trust is the capability of an individual to consider the information conveyed to you from someone else and evaluate that information for the relevance to myself. Can I generalize this, etc.? So essentially what I'm asking is this source something that I should allow it to shape my trust? Can I believe this source of information? And is this telling the truth? And can I let this shape my belief about X, Y, Z? But the paradox that we keep here in mind is more information to at some point, right? Just throwing on more information is creating less confidence, and doing more marketing of the same is going to backfire because it increases the cognitive load and it prolongs the evaluation a buyer needs to go through in order to feel confident. And that's why we see 80% of the deals stall, because they get caught in that rabbit hole and we're not pulling them out of it in a fashion that is ensuring them enough. Exposure itself cannot solve this problem. In order to actually define what this trust gap now looks like, what we have to do is we have to reframe those three criteria, time, touch points, and locations that make up sort of that exposure. And then I give you two other components that will affect those. So first of all, time. In the old days, 2010, 2020, more time meant more trust. Now, time after a certain threshold means more cognitive effort because I need to make sense of this information. We mentioned the 13 pieces of content that someone is looking at and they want to have this rep-free experience. But how is that actually going to help them? But that actually leads to a lot of stalled deals and high regret. So the key shift that we need to make is time is a constraint. A buyer is only going to invest a certain amount of time with us before they give up and go somewhere else, or before they try to solve the problem in a different way, or before they go to a competitor who doesn't waste their time as much. So instead of increasing the quantity of time that they spend with us, we need to increase the quality of time. And we need to understand that trust only forms in that productive range, and anything over that is going to do damage. So our responsibility is to shorten the path to clarity and not maximize the time that is being spent. So a bit of a reframe here. Second, touch points. We need to understand that there has been a shift from brand-owned to ecosystem touch points, right? Now, most of the touch points that your buyer encounters on their journey to making that purchase decision is not owned by your brand. It's that dark social. It's private conversations with chat. It's community forums and Reddit threads that you're not part of. It's also buying committees and meeting rooms, consolidating all different types of information they found. So you no longer control most of these touch points. Now, you're not even aware of most of these touch points. How do you deal with that? And the problem is because your buyer is encountering a lot of inconsistent and incoherent information across all these touch points, they will punish you for that irrelevant, inconsistent, and generic messaging. Now, that's a problem, right? And we need to figure out how do we make our message clearer so we enable all the other people in our ecosystem to be more consistent and coherent in talking about us. And that's absolutely something that lies at our door, even though we cannot directly control it. It's our fault in the first place if we're putting out outdated information, if we're having inconsistent messaging, if we're not really clear with our messaging that's easily understood or easily repeatable. People will just say, God knows what about us, and that just helps to confuse our buyers. Okay? The third one is locations. So I just mentioned that a little bit. Buyers are now operating in different locations. So those dark socials, those private communities, those AI tools. And I love how Rand Fishkin put it last week. It's not that neat marketing funnel. It's like our buyers are in a pinball machine, right? They just like get pinballed around and they think they're almost at the bottom, then they get pinged back up and they rattle down a different. But it is a completely spaghetti formed journey that is not that nice linear path anymore. It probably never was that linear, but it was much neater and almost like a math equation at some point. So the implications are clear here. The work that a buyer needs to go through to make that decision is happening invisible and not in your control. And that a lot of times is when your buyers go dark and then all of a sudden come back to you and burst into this flurry of activity. That didn't mean they ghosted you. They just meant they went away and did their due diligence in an area that you couldn't control. So we have to reframe the location as well. Now, just to recap that real quick before we move on to the other two things. Exposure now is a function of the quality of time that you're spending, the touch points and the locations, but with that reframe that I just mentioned. It's not just the generic blasting out, but you have to reframe that and rethink that a bit. What it doesn't do, though, is it doesn't account for two very important things, validation and emotional safety. And those are really important to put all the missing pieces in place that we're now encountering. And that's the shape-shifting of the trust gap that I'm talking about. The trust gap with the 7-11-4 didn't just become larger that we now need 10, 20, and 8 across, you know, those three dimensions. But it changed the shape that we now need validation and emotional safety. Now, validation is really all about reducing that epistemic risk that someone is taking, right? The difference is initially the touch points gave someone that feeling, have I seen you before? Yep, I have. I can trust you. Validation is more about, can I believe this? And that comes in form of not vendor-controlled entities like peers, practitioners, communities, former customers, and they give someone else that they're not basically telling the buyer, oh, this is the truth, but the buyer sees that all these people are having the same belief about X, Y, and Z. And that gives a good indication that this could be true. It makes the truth, or it makes this X, Y, and Z most likely to be true. So it's validating that information. And that's important because if you're encountering inconsistent and incoherent information that is very confusing, and now you're spending time reconciling all the stuff, and you're trying to figure out what is the truth and what can I believe in, if you have that kind of validation come from peers, communities, etc., and you see other people believing the same thing, you can be relatively sure that this is true. Now, let's talk about emotional safety. Emotional safety is all about reducing that perceived risk. If you remember, the trust leader definition of trust is that our willingness to be vulnerable as buyers needs to be equal or greater than the perceived risk that I'm taking without active control or direct control over the vendor or the positive outcome. Then that emotional safety that I'm getting would reduce that perceived risk. So the real question that buyers here asking is, what happens if this goes wrong and the risks are much higher than they've ever been before? In a B2B environment, if you're making the wrong decision, it's not like no one gets fired for buying IBM anymore. You have your reputation, your professional reputation at stake. You might have your career at stake. There might be internal politics that are going to be in favor or in disfavor for you if you make the wrong decisions. There's a lot at stake now. And that's why we see buying committees increase. I think there's now 8 people on average in a buying committee in B2B. And that's because making decision in a group reduces the risk for the single person and gives emotional safety. So it turns that belief into action and it makes vulnerability more acceptable because we're doing this in a group. So if you're looking at the trust gap and if you're looking at what do I need to do today to overcome this, you need to not only increase the exposure across the time, the location, and the touch points, but you need to invest in some way or form in giving your buyers and your audience validation, and you need to give them emotional safety. Now, I wrote an article where I go a bit more into detail of what this actually is and some self-coaching questions that you find there that you can really use to guide yourself a bit through that and what that means. But for this episode right now, I just wanted to give you that lens, and I want to leave you with sort of a progression that you can think about. And it's not a formula like the 7-11 4, but it's sort of a progression from exposure to belief to action. So we're injecting here the belief, and I want you to remember it in this way. Exposure gets you considered. Validation gets you believed, and emotional safety gets you chosen. Okay, so I'm going to say that again. Exposure gets you considered, validation gets you believed, and emotional safety gets you chosen. If you think about those new two criteria, remember that validation reduces the epistemic risk. And emotional safety reduces that perceived risk that someone has when they're actually saying yes. All of this put together and you will build trust. Now, what does that mean for a leader like yourself? It doesn't mean less content. And it doesn't mean fewer touch points. But it does mean you need to take responsibility and show up in the right way that validation and emotional safety happens, because it's your door this lands on that you don't get to control the narrative anymore, but you have to do every single thing in your power to enable others to be consistent and cohesive about that narrative. So your messaging needs to be 100% crystal clear. You need to make it in a way that's memorable and repeatable. You need to have all of your content on your website up to date and completely consistent and coherent as well. So get rid of those old articles if they are telling a different story. Make sure that you always have the most up to date that reflects your reality of who you are today. If you are talking about your past on your About Us page in the company history, fine. But if you still have articles on your website that talks about your product 5 years ago and outdated features, or features that have completely changed, get rid of them. Switch your mindset to making this a knowledge base for humans and a knowledge base for AI bots that then will recommend an answer to those humans. Responsibility. it really means that you have to shift your responsibility or your focus from persuasion to risk reduction. You have to ethically lead as your as a company leader to make it easier to believe in the things you say. So don't make unnecessary claims. Make clearer trade-offs. Make people really truly understand with product comparisons and product configurators, with pricing and ROI calculators, whatever it takes, but be entirely clear that this information and the type of information you are presenting can be believed and can be trusted, and it helps to reduce the cognitive load and it helps to reduce the confusion. So instead of just putting out more articles and articles and articles that are generic, rethink, what can I do to make it easier to believe that this information is correct? How can I make this action safer for my buyers? How can I reduce the risk that they're feeling? Now, if you take one thing away from today's episode, is that exposure is just table stakes. You need to now add a layer of validation and emotional safety to close that gap. The trust gap hasn't just largened, it has changed its shape. And it's your responsibility, even though you can't control a lot of those elements, to do the best you can to reduce the risk for your buyers and make it feel safer for them to act. And remember, ultimately, everything in business comes down to trust. Thank you for listening to Lead with Trust. If this episode helped you see how trust really shows up and made you think differently of how you can build trust in your business, share it with someone who needs to hear it, because trust isn't built by accident. It is built on purpose.